You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Amber and Ian on a legal NFL tampering period. It's Jonathan Zaslow.
Yeah,
filling in for Ian tonight. He's being very legal about things with all of his tampering today.
I'm a rule follower.
None of Zaslow's tampering started until noon Eastern today.
I didn't talk to anybody.
You didn't talk to anybody. Even though in the NFL somehow deals get done at 12:01, everyone ignore that. Yeah. Lawyers work very fast, as we all know. So it is the legal tampering period in the NFL. That opens up a 52-hour window that leads up to free agency on March 13th. And boy, what a legal tampering period it has been. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find him at Zaslow's show. You can find me at Amber W Sports. And probably the biggest of all of the names has been Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. Also because it's another big deal for Kirk Cousins. And we're talking about a quarterback in his mid-30s coming off of an Achilles injury and yet still out here getting paid like nothing ever happened to that man. Okay, he got a $50 million signing bonus as part of this deal, a $90 million guarantee on top of that over the next two seasons, an additional $10 million guaranteed in 2026, and a whopping $100 million total guaranteed money of the $180 million four-year contract that he signed with Atlanta. So Kirk Cousins, once again, in terms of contracts, a big, big winner.
Can we just stop and acknowledge for a second how cool a $50 million signing bonus must be?
Do you think we'll ever do something that you get a
$50 million signing bonus for? Is that something I can achieve at one point in my life? Do you think you'll achieve that at some point in your life?
I think the question just could be like, do you think we'll ever do something with $50 million, like period, whether it's a signing bonus or whether it's something that we get over the course of our lifetimes or whether it's something that we even just look at on a check, the numbers? The answer to all that's no.
I want to do something one day where someone wants me to sign and I get $50 million for signing it.
Do you think you're ever going to get $50 for signing anything?
I mean, I don't know why you got to turn it around and make it, you know, insulting here. I'm setting the bar very high here. You're setting it very low. I don't know what you're doing.
Can you
there.
Imagine? Because we sign deals in this business, obviously. But can you imagine just how sweet it would be as part of your deal here with ESPN?
So just here's $50 right away. Here's cash.
Like just $50 for signing right here, like on this line.
Dinner on us.
We're going to go ahead and just hand you the cash.
Dinner on us, right? You sign right now. This is your new deal. And as a signing bonus, 50 smackers right now.
Be so sweet. Of course, there's no salary cap here at ESPN, so they don't have to necessarily structure contracts that way, which is what a signing bonus is for in large part. The reason that teams do this sort of thing is the signing bonus then doesn't count towards the cap the same way that the salary does. It's why you have all these numbers in there, the $50 million, and then you've got the $90 million over here, and you've got another $10 million over there. It's them structuring things for flexibility with the Falcons.
You know what? The way you originally said it, I felt like it was insulting, the $50 signing bonus. But then when we spell it out like that, I signed the deal. Here's 50 smackers. Dinner's on us tonight. I don't know. That doesn't sound so bad, actually.
Pretty nice. Still don't think it's happening for us.
I take it back.
$50 million or $50. I don't feel like any of that is happening for us. So now Kirk Cousins, after being the face of Minnesota for so long, and it's all thinking of him as the Minnesota and as the face of the Vikings, and then just like his family is so Minnesota, even in that Netflix show Quarterback that we watched with him, and it was so obvious how much they love living there and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to see if they love Atlanta. Also a lovely place to be and live. They're certainly going to love the payday that they get for moving down there, but it's a big change.
I really think this was a situation of it's not you, it's me. I feel like both sides, Minnesota and Kirk Cousins, they really, really like each other. They've really, really enjoyed their time together. They're okay if they're going to still stay together, but they're both kind of ready to move on, you know? And neither one of them wanted to be the one to initiate the breakup. You know, the Vikings, they're hinting at it by not offering him the deal that he would want. And he's got his eye, he's looking other places because he sees the writing on the wall. He'd really like to stay, but he kind of knows this could be it for us over here. And then eventually, you know, we wait around, we dance around, nobody signs a deal, and in comes Atlanta when the legal tampering period begins, because you cannot talk before noon Eastern today, and they offer him a deal that the Vikings were not willing to offer, and then that makes it really easy for both sides to part ways. That's kind of how it feels like it went down, where neither one of them really, they like each other, but they both know they're kind of done.
Which is fine when you're talking about a quarterback who's in his mid-30s and has done as much as he's done. And fine, nobody thought that the Vikings were going to win a Super Bowl next season. But where are the Vikings going to go? Because this is interesting for the Falcons, and we're going to get into that for a second. But why are the Vikings done? Like, they don't, like, what's the plan B there?
Yeah.
You ain't got the backup plan yet.
I would say maybe they make a call to the Chicago Bears, but the Bears are not going to do that in the division. That's not going to happen.
No chance they're doing that with them in particular. No
not gonna
chance.
Happen. Yeah.
Although the market's been smaller for Justin Fields than I think a lot of us thought it was.
No, I think you hold on to him if you're Chicago and that's the only option. You hold on to him. You're not trading him to Minnesota. You can't do that.
No, I agree with that. I mean, what's the worst that happens? You draft a guy and still Fields is there and you figure it out in the long run. But yeah, I agree. They're not going to do business with the Vikings. And so I have no idea what the Vikings are going to do moving on. But I also got the impression that they were at a point where they don't want to hand Kirk another contract because they don't think it's going to result in the actual winning of anything right now. And so why go ahead and pay a guy who's going to be 36 years old this season? Why go ahead and pay him when he's coming off of the Achilles to the tune of over $100 billion, which is obviously what the Falcons felt like they were in a position to do. Now, the Falcons have a pretty good team now around Kirk Cousins. And I think more importantly,
the
Falcons
deal
are in a really weak division. And so they have to capitalize in it. Now, you saw what happened, obviously, with Baker in Tampa. But you're in a division that is winnable if you're the Atlanta Falcons.
Totally.
And if you feel like you are a quarterback away from taking that division and competing in a postseason, then this makes sense, even if it's an older quarterback and even if it's a quarterback coming off of an injury.
I think Atlanta has high hopes now. I think Atlanta now goes into next season saying our goal is to win the NFC South. You know, nobody's afraid of Carolina. New Orleans is so average, and I get it that Tampa Bay, not only do they win the division, but they also won a playoff game, and everybody's excited. Baker Mayfield's back. They won 9 games last year, all right? There were no first prize. Nobody's afraid of the Bucs, even though they're going to try and build off of what they did last year and a postseason victory. They automatically now, in that division, have the best quarterback, all right? If I'm Atlanta, and I know I got good weapons between Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. Maybe someone will finally start throwing Kyle Pitts the football, and he got Drake London. Like, if I'm Atlanta, my goal is without question now to win that division next season.
And they certainly are going to be contenders in doing that. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's NFL analyst, was on SportsCenter. He said that the Falcons had to make this move.
From the Atlanta perspective, it had to happen. Atlanta was one of those teams, all last season, this team's good enough to get to the playoffs, and the quarterback play just kept keeping them short. This is a team that has a very good offensive line. Bijan Robinson going into his second year, the young man out of Texas, they can run the football. I think Drake London, their first round pick from a couple years ago at wide receiver, is going to be a superstar with Kirk Cousins. And the reality is the Atlanta Falcons now can contend in that division versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and be a playoff contending football team. Zach Robinson, who's their offensive coordinator, who comes over from Sean McVay, is going to run the same system, very similar to what Kirk thrived in Minnesota under Kevin O'Connell. He's coming off of the best year of his career. In many ways, is set up to have this kind of go into the sunset type of ending to his career. I think his health will be completely fine. So for Atlanta, I absolutely love this.
Yeah, I don't mind this move at all. Now, normally I would say, hey, you don't want to pay a quarterback at this age that much money coming off of that Achilles injury. However, with Kirk Cousins, he was having a heck of a season in Minnesota before he got injured, don't forget. Mm-hmm. And all the stats were there.
They just started to win again. They were on a run, and then he went down.
Yeah, and then he went down. His stats, all of his advanced metrics and everything were excellent up to that point. He was playing some of those games without Justin Jefferson and was still putting up huge numbers. And so if you're Atlanta, you're hoping that he comes in, not only helps you obviously win that division, but also helps you develop some of that young talent. I mean, you mentioned obviously what's happened there with Kyle Pitts. That's been abysmal. But Drake London, Bijan Robinson, all the weapons that they have there in Atlanta, you're hoping that with this leadership now, with this veteran presence, with a quarterback that everybody does believe in as a proven quarterback in the league for a very long time, even if he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that you are going to go ahead and see greener pastures and a team that then gets the confidence that they feel like, hey, this is our division year after year for the taking, even after Kirk Cousins makes his exit one day. So an excellent move, I think, for the Atlanta
Well,
Falcons.
And look, he's 35 years old, yes, and coming off an Achilles injury. I get it. That used to be a death sentence. That's not the case anymore. But even at 35 years old, we're not asking him to be Tom Brady and play until he's 45 years old. But nowadays, 35 years old for a starting quarterback? That's not ancient. Like, dudes are playing, they're playing at a high enough level up to around 40 years old now these days. They could definitely get four good years out of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I mean, if they get 4 years, he'll be basically 40 years old, right? So, yeah, I mean, 4 years out of Kirk Cousins, that's probably it, which is the length of this deal. He'll probably retire. But if he can play out this entire deal, then that's a win. But also, if he wins the division here, even over the next couple years, then frankly, that's also a win. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, with Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight, Russell Wilson is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. It's not let's ride anymore. It's what, like, let's steal?
Let's steal. That's their slogan. Let's steal. I didn't think you were going to get
let's
it, but
steal.
You did. You got it.
That's next here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Breaking in the NFL, Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers.
Russell Wilson doesn't go anywhere that he doesn't think that he isn't going to be the starter. Now, he's going to have to go and earn it, and he's going to have to play well. But Russell Wilson is ultra-confident in his abilities and what he will bring to that franchise.
This is good for Russ.
This will protect him.
If I was Russ in his camp, I am begging for this. I think this is a match made in heaven. Don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson out there cooking and saying, Steelers fans, let's ride.
Well, I don't think it could go worse for Russ or be worse for Russ than the couple years that he spent there with the Denver Broncos. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. Rachel Robinson is doing a theme tonight with the music.
I like this.
We're going to get to that in just about 15 minutes from now. So she's going to go through all the songs that she has played so far. I have no idea what the theme is yet.
And now I don't think I do anymore.
What she does, she throws you off. See, I don't even bother guessing until she goes through the song, so we'll see. Though that's coming up here on Amber and Ian. Also, if you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, be sure to check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But Russell Wilson, it's going to be good for him to be a Pittsburgh Steelers Aslo, because frankly, I don't think it can be much worse than what happened in Denver. And he had such a hell of a career there in Seattle. It's such a shame to watch a story that was as good as the one was in Seattle for as long as it was in Seattle, and then for it to potentially end the way it did in Denver. And I heard, I don't agree with this, but I heard Chris Canty say today that the first team he thinks of when he thinks of Russell Wilson now is the Denver Broncos.
No.
I don't. I mean, for me, word association, Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. Like,
yeah,
I'm
feel
not going to do
way.
That to Russell Wilson. Right. I don't feel that way at all, but I was surprised to hear him say that when he was on with Evan today. And I do wonder if it's that era that is going to end up being such a black mark on the Russell Wilson resume that it's going to overtake all the good that was done before that. And I think that this is an opportunity.
Fair.
He doesn't need to win a Super Bowl. Like, he's already done that. He doesn't need to win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. But I do think this is an opportunity to sort of erase that bad, sour taste in your mouth from Denver.
Can I tell you what is a little bit weird with Russell Wilson? So before he signed with the Steelers, you know, and before he was told that he was being released from the Broncos, didn't he say that his hope is over the next 5 years, he wants to win two more Super Bowls, right? That's what he said. Isn't that kind of a weird? Isn't that kind of a weird thing to say? Because, well, for one, wouldn't you think, all right, in the next 5 years, I want to win five Super Bowls? Like, that's number one. Like, I want to win a Super Bowl every year. Like, if you already won two, and then it's like, all right, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to win anymore. I'm good. I already won two. But it's weird, right? Because when he was in his prime, and whether or not you think he had a good season last year, whether or not you think he could still be a good quarterback in Pittsburgh, we're all going to agree he's not in his prime anymore. Well, in his prime, he won one Super Bowl in 10 years.
Out of two.
In Seattle. Yeah, but he won one. He won, which is great. I mean, winning one is amazing. But he won one Super Bowl in 10 years. Now he wants to win two more in 5 years. I mean, that's a weird thing to say.
He's expediting the process. He's older. He's expediting the process. Like, this is it. It's go time. He doesn't have much time.
I
don't
think
that he's winning any. Right, now it's double time. I don't think he's winning any more Super Bowls. I don't think he, frankly, has to. I think that if he is better than last season, and last season wasn't that bad. Like, if he's a little bit better than last season, and also if things just go, like, if things go pretty well, you know, they make a postseason, they're a winning record again, you know, he can't be the reason that Mike Tomlin finally doesn't have a winning record. That would be the one way
that this thing goes
really far off course.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. That would be the way that this thing goes from bad to worse, actually.
I didn't even think about it. Chris Canty thinks of Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos instead of the Seahawks, which I think is wild, but if then he also goes to Pittsburgh and he's the starting quarterback, which, by the way, the Steelers just won 10 games. It's not like they just went 9-8 and were over 500 by one game like the previous year with Mike Tomlin. They were 10-7. And like that's a good season, all right? They're 10-7. And then if Russell Wilson gets there, and not only do they win fewer games than the year before, but Mike Tomlin has his first ever under 500 season. That'd be hard times for Russell Wilson.
That would be tough sledding for Russell Wilson. That would not help the end of Russell Wilson's resume. Short of that, though, other than that happening, I don't really think that there's much that can go, frankly, worse here in Pittsburgh, because you are in a decent situation. You do obviously have a well-respected coach. There is a team there. There are weapons there. And you are talking about a team, like you just said, that did the winning without a quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not very willing to call Kenny Pickett a quarterback, certainly not a competent one from last season, when the man only had 6 touchdown passes. Russell Wilson will give you more than that on his worst day. So it seems like an upgrade any way you cut it, and a great situation for him to walk into. Again, I'm not saying they're winning a Super Bowl this season with Russell Wilson, but I don't think that they need to help this Russell Wilson story.
I do think that there is an element to it where he certainly has had a big piece of humble pie right now based on what's happened, not just right now, but over the last couple of years. And he gets to a team in Pittsburgh, and we know how that city is. Steel City. Amber, that's why they're the Steelers. Steel City. All right. They want dudes who work.
I thought it was
Steel City.
Thing.
That's
Got
right.
It.
Okay. That's right. They want dudes who work hard. All right. So he needs to get in there. You keep your head down. We don't do any of the corny phrases or, you know, all the commercials all over the place. I would say this is the Steelers brought him in because they're trying to improve upon a 10-win season. They want to go to the playoffs. They want to win playoff games. And they'll tell you they want to win a Super Bowl. Whatever. That's obviously a little bit too high. But for Russell Wilson, this needs to be about resurrecting his career. It's a one-year, super team-friendly deal that he just signed. He needs to go in there. Forget about how long he's going to play for the Steelers. He signed a one-year deal. He needs to go out there and treat it like this is a year to resurrect my career. I mean, look at what Baker Mayfield just did. You know,
right.
that should essentially be the template for Russell Wilson. And Baker's very well liked in the locker rooms that he's been in. I don't know that Russell Wilson is very well liked, but he has an opportunity to start from scratch in a locker room that Mike Tomlin runs. Mike Tomlin runs a tight ship there. So I do think this is a really good opportunity for Russell Wilson, but I do think there's something that he needs to change. And that would be he needs to go in there with his head down a little bit and treat this as, hey, I'm starting. We know that he's been guaranteed the starting spot, but he needs to go in there and treat it like he is on ground zero and he's got to earn it all.
On Greeny today, they had on Robert Turbin, who's a former teammate of Russell Wilson's from the Seattle Seahawks. And he actually was sharing stories about what a great teammate Russell Wilson is and how excellent he is and how he took Robert Turbin and the guys on offense to Lakers games. And it was the only times that Turbin had ever seen Kobe play in person in his life were because Russell Wilson paid for him and paid for the trip to go there, paid for the airfare and paid for the Lakers tickets for him to go and witness that. And then after that, doing that for a couple of years, then he took the offense to Hawaii to run drills, like the entire offense to Hawaii to work on routes. And like he paid for it all. And they asked Robert Turbin, why isn't this talked about more? I think it was Evan and Michelle filling in today on Greeny. And, you know, why don't you hear more positive things? And basically his answer was, you know, I don't want to use the words jealousy and whatnot, but there is quite a bit of that in NFL locker rooms. And there may have been some of that that ended up sort of clouding that the voices you were hearing from were sort of upset with Russ for this and that reason. And that there's a bunch of us out here that think that he's an excellent teammate and have great stories to share. And that we just weren't out here feeling like we needed to be super vocal about it. So I thought that was a very fresh, refreshing perspective because you hear so much weird stuff. Like the negativity around Russell Wilson, it almost doesn't seem real to me because I just don't get it with all the success he had.
I think he is as confusing and puzzling a player there is in the National Football League. Because everything you just said sounds really, really cool. But yeah, then there's all that other stuff as well.
So there's also a lot of other stuff. Speaking of other stuff that's happened here in free agency, there's stuff happening for the Raiders. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. We're not working 9 to 5, but it is 9:30 at night, and we are here working. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. It's actually Zaslo working tonight in place of Ian Fitzsimmons. That Zaslo Show is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. Me and Zaslo are big Dolphins fans, and today has been a huge bummer for me and Zaslo because it has been a bloodbath of a Monday.
Somebody's got to be a big loser today.
You hear the laugh there, that little laugh that just broke in before I've even gotten a chance to introduce him.
Yeah,
that was
chuckles.
Q Myers. Yeah, host of Game Night here, coming up right after us here at 10 p.m. on ESPN Radio. And the reason he's chuckling is because his Las Vegas Raiders are one of the reasons that the Miami Dolphins are big losers today. When you took our best defensive player in Christian Wilkins, what do you have to say for yourself, Q?
That was a big deal. And I don't mean to rub salt into the wounds of any Dolphin fan, but that was a big deal for the Raiders. Antonio Pierce told us at the Combine a couple weeks ago that he wanted to make sure that they boosted that defensive line. And you got Max Crosby there. You've got Tyree Wilson, who was the number 7 overall pick a year ago. You've got Malcolm Kuntz, who came on. And then you've got this big monster, as you know, in Christian Wilkins in the middle. All of a sudden now your defense looks that much better. And their defense looked really good at the end of last year. So, I mean, it's only March, so you don't want to say that they've won, but that's a really good step in the right direction to get the big fella, and they landed him early when the legal tampering period opened up.
Q, I think he fits the Raiders and their whole MO really, really well, because he's got a lot of nasty to him, and that seems to fit what the Raiders are about, what they've always been about.
Right, there's no doubt. Again, that's someone that's going to get the juices going for Max Crosby. Those are two dudes that don't come off the field. That's the other thing, to find a big fella that really doesn't come off the field. Has always been really good at stopping the run, and also, as you saw last season, was able to come up with 9 sacks, getting to the quarterback, getting that pressure. That just makes Max Crosby's job that much easier, and he's a guy that's gotten better each and every year. So, yeah, there's a lot of excitement in Raider Nation when it comes to the addition of Christian Wilkins, just knowing what that defense could look like. And like you said, he brings that nasty from the interior. And as AP said, the Mahomes rules. You got to touch him. You got to feel him. You got to let him know that you're there. Christian Wilkins will help the Raiders do that.
Yeah, I think he's going to help the Raiders in every way. I mean, like you said, now those O-lines are going to be keyed in on just Max Crosby. It gives Tyree Wilson more time there to develop. But the money here, Q Myers on with us on Amber and Ian Zaslow filling in for Ian. The money, 110 million, almost 85 million of that guaranteed. I mean, when we saw the numbers on this thing, as Dolphins fans, I know that we felt like, all right, well, that's why we weren't going to be able to keep the dude. You don't feel like it's an overpay, though? You feel good about the situation financially the Raiders find themselves in?
I think that everything in free agency is overpaid, right? I mean, it just, you kind of know what it is. You've got to do that when it is free agency. But when I saw the deals for Chris Jones, when I saw the deals for Justin Madubuike in Baltimore, I realized that it was going to be right there in line with those deals. So you knew what it was, but he's 28 years old. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like he's at the back end of his career. It's a lot of money at the first 2 years. I think the Raiders could reevaluate where they sit with him after 2 years. So yeah, it's a lot of money, but again, that's kind of what it is when it comes to free agency. And if it helps the Raiders win games, especially beat those guys named the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now back-to-back Super Bowl champs, then it's well worth it.
Q, what are the Raiders going to do at quarterback? I mean, I understand Gardner Minshew, but like, could they possibly get on the phone and call Chicago?
I don't think that they're going to call Chicago. I think the Justin Fields thing is out the door, especially since they have Luke Getsy as their offense coordinator, and he was the OC there in Chicago. So I don't think that that's going to be a reality, but I do believe that they're on the phone and they're trying to call Washington, who has the number 2 overall pick, New England, who has the number 3 overall pick, maybe the Cardinals at number 4. I think that they're really going to address their quarterback position in the upcoming draft. They got Gardner Minshew, as you mentioned, and he's just a kind of a Band-Aid, what Antonio Pierce said he doesn't want. But, yeah, that's got to be the biggest question. You can have all the defense you want, but if you don't have a quarterback that's worth the salt, then you're not gonna go too far. So they've got to find their quarterback of the future. They got Aiden O'Connell. That's nice. That's cute. He won on Christmas against the Chiefs, but he didn't complete a pass after the first quarter, so there's that.
Amber, remember what I said. If you want a quarterback, you want to move up to that spot, just move up. Just do it.
Just do it. It's that easy, right? I'm guessing the Las Vegas Raiders feel like they wish it was that easy to just go ahead and move up. Either way, they could take a quarterback in this draft, but it's funny that Antonio Pierce, though, says he doesn't want a Band-Aid, and you're right. I feel like that's exactly what Gardner Minshew is, because if you are looking to draft a quarterback, and assuming that you're not moving up to a top 3 pick, what are you guys at right now, 13?
13, yeah, 13.
Yeah, so you're at 13. So say you can't move up, and you're taking somebody at 13 at that quarterback position, then Gardner's going to be the starter, right? I mean, Gardner's going to start until the dude's ready to take over, isn't he? It feels like a Band-Aid. It feels like Gardner Minshew is a bit that you just signed the thing that Antonio Pierce said he didn't want.
Yeah, it's definitely a Band-Aid. You hit it on the head. There's no other way to dance it up and dress it up. It's a Band-Aid. $7.5 million for a year. I mean, it's $15 million fully guaranteed for 2 years. So $7.5 million for insurance. If they don't get their guy in the draft, I think that they'll try to get up to the 2 or 3 spot to get Jaden Daniels. If they can't, which they probably can't, but if they can't, they'll go with like Michael Penix. If he's available around the 13 spot, I think he's a good fit for what the Raiders want to do. And look, you got Aiden O'Connell, who won some games last year. He wasn't fantastic, won some games. AP has called him the starter until someone beats him out, so I think there'll be competition between Minshew. But with that kind of a salary, I think they expect him to probably start a couple games at the worst, right, for the Raiders in 2024. So we'll see what happens. But that quarterback room definitely needs to be revamped.
Q, I know you got a lot coming up on game night tonight. I'm sure you're going to cover it, but give us some quick thoughts here on the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta deal. Go ahead.
That's a big deal, man. I mean, now all of a sudden you look at that division, right? I mean, Baker Mayfield just re-signed his deal in Tampa Bay. There was a time when Derek Carr felt like he was the best quarterback in New Orleans. Now all of a sudden you got Kirk Cousins, who has won. Earned a lot of money in his career, but two, I mean, you know, he can sling the ball, and they've got some nice weapons there, you know, and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and London, and I mean, they got a nice defense. I think that Atlanta's got something going on. Raheem Morris, he wants to play that kind of Sean McVay style of ball, so I think that Atlanta is in a good position now with Kirk Cousins. They went out and did exactly what the Raiders need to do as far as the draft goes. Do whatever it takes to go get their quarterback. They went out there and spent the money to get their quarterback. They got him a fully guaranteed deal, at least for the first couple years. You know, and that's coming off an Achilles tear, but they felt comfortable with it. So let's see. Let's, you know, see how the dice, I guess, shakes out. But I think it's a really good move right there for Atlanta.
I think it's a huge move for Atlanta. I don't know what Minnesota is quite doing, but a big move for Atlanta. Q Myers, you can hear him right here on game night coming up right after us from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. No longer in your division there for the Raiders is Russell Wilson because he's no longer with the Denver Broncos. How do you feel about him now being a Pittsburgh Steeler?
I think that's a good move for Pittsburgh. It's one of those, you know, only a $1.5 million they're paying or something like that. I mean, that's nothing. So Denver is paying his salary for 2024. I think it's great. I saw Russell Wilson a couple times this past year. He looks okay. Doesn't look like the Russell Wilson that was in Seattle, which is why the Seahawks moved on from him. But, you know, if you have a little bit of competition between Wilson and Pickett, may the best man win. I'm assuming that Wilson thinks he's going to be the guy. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's just okay. I don't think it's anything great, but for the money, I think that that's a good move to make for sure.
Yeah.
Feels like a no-brainer. If you're only paying the man $1.2
million, exactly.
Who does have the resume that he has, despite whatever happened there in Denver. I mean, why the heck not? Q Myers, you can hear him right here on ESPN Radio. He's coming up in just about 20 minutes. I'm sure you're already tired of talking. You've only got a few more hours left to go.
You'll be all right.
I know you've been talking all day because you're also all over radio there locally in Las Vegas. So we'll give you a little breather here. 20 minutes to go.
Take a quick nap here,
Q. You hop back on, okay?
Hey, look, I'll just tell you this. I'm excited that Russell Wilson is in Pittsburgh because now I don't have to worry about him and Sierra coming to Vegas and Sierra getting a residency on Fremont Street and doing her performance out there. So I'm good.
Oh, was that the whole thing? Everyone thought he was going to end up a Raider because of that?
Everyone thought he was going to end up a Raider and they were going to try to get her a residency. So I made the joke that, nah, she ain't going to get no residency, but we'll throw her out there on Fremont Street where all the street performers have a little circle and they get a few minutes of time.
That's rough. Come on, Sierra used to have some good hits. What are you talking about, Q?
I'm just saying,
Q Myers.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, but she had some fire stuff back in the day. Thanks,
yes.
Q.
All right, appreciate you.
Thanks,
see
man.
You.
Speaking of music, we've had our own music theme going tonight with Rachel Robinson. Have you been paying enough attention to this music theme tonight?
Yeah, I have, but I'm struggling, though.
You're struggling.
Music Monday. Brennan.
Sorry to interrupt.
Well, she's going to help you.
I'm sorry.
She's going to help you. This is
well,
Rachel, aren't you, like, aren't we supposed to, like, formally introduce you or something? So, all right.
Well, you guys were struggling. I wanted to help out.
You're supposed to say people's names on the radio.
Go ahead, Amber. Roll out the red carpet.
I'm trying to warm up.
Go ahead.
And bring her in. Rachel, hello.
Hello. How are you guys today?
I'm doing very well, Rachel. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm here to help you guys out since you seem to be struggling with the theme a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you from beginning. We started with Willie Nelson, On the Road Again.
Yep.
Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die. Mm. Simple Mind, Don't You Forget About Me.
Mm.
Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love. Mm. Pharrell Williams, Happy. Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters. Then we went some Kenny Loggins with Footloose. And then at the beginning of the segment, you might have heard the one and only Dolly Parton, 925.
Is that an Oscars theme? I feel like there's an Oscars theme happening here. Like, these are all songs from movies.
They
because
are
Dolly
from
Parton
movies.
They are all from movies. All of those.
They are. But we're going to get your final guesses here at 9:45-ish.
Oh,
give or take a few minutes.
Was I jumping on it too fast?
I'm not telling you if you were right or wrong. Just know.
I'm just excited to actually have a guess because I'm the worst person ever at this game, but I feel like I have a guess. And it involves the Oscars. Now, the only thing I know about the Oscars is John Cena.
Yeah, that's the only thing you could talk about from last night. Cena comes out. He's like in the nude out there, you know, doing 100 push-ups before he gets out there in front of everybody so he can look all jacked up, you know? And that's Amber noticed the entire night.
Only reason that he looked jacked is because he did 100 push-ups before he walked out there, yes. I'm sure all of that is from just doing 100 push-ups.
Good for him. I mean, you know how confident you got to be walking out there.
Usually you can't even see him.
Push-ups are better than being painted on, I guess.
How much would somebody have to pay you, Zaslo? I heard them talking about this today. Yeah, I heard them doing this today with Evan Cohen. How much would somebody have to pay you to walk out on the Oscars stage in the flesh, like John Cena?
Oh boy! Oh my goodness! And I'm not.
And in this scenario, you look like you, not John Cena.
Oh yeah, important distinction. Yes, of course.
Because Evan said, I mean, if I look like John Cena.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't wait to get out there. If I look like John Cena, hey, look what I got going on here. All right, this is what I'm working with. But me in this current state, oh boy.
I encourage all men who look like John Cena to just, you know, live your lives like that. Just walk around.
Yeah, even if it's just you. Streets. Even if it's just you in the audience. It doesn't even have to be a whole crowd of people.
Just share it with the world. You know, it's
share
it's,
your gift.
It's a thing. To share your gift is a thing you've worked very hard for. You should show it off. Coming up next year on ESPN Radio. You didn't actually give me a number. I'll let you mull over.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be sharing my gift.
For any amount of money? $100 million.
It's forever. Yes. I mean, $100 million. $100 million. I would do it. Yes, $100 okay, million. Right, I'm doing it.
You can disappear if you had $100 million.
That's right.
$100 million.
Right, I will buy an island so I can live in shame the rest of my life and not have to hear anyone talk about what I looked like out there. Yes.
All right. Well, listen. If there's a billionaire out there that wants to see Jonathan Zaslow on the Oscar stage in the flesh,
that's right. I'm open
all
for
it's
business.
Cost you. There you go. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Zaslow filling in for Ian. Everyone has a price. A segment that James claims he came up with all by himself, even though that is wildly untrue here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Music Monday. Monday. On Amber and Ian.
So it is a Music Monday, which means that Rachel Robinson is doing a show within a show.
I know it. I got it now.
Got it. So Rachel Robinson's doing a show within a show.
Yeah, it's the big finish.
And we're supposed to guess what the theme was tonight of the music all throughout the show here on Amber and Ian. Yeah. If you missed anything on Amber and Ian on this free agency legal tampering period in the NFL, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Rachel, you want to run through the songs that we heard tonight?
Yes, I will. And I will keep this beauty on underneath me. All right. So we got Willie Nelson, On the Road Again, Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die, Simple Mind, Don't You Forget About Me, Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love, Pharrell Williams, Happy, Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters, Kenny Loggins, Footloose, Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, and the best part of the Oscars last night, I'm Just Ken by Ryan Gosling.
All right, you go first, Amber.
So I guess these were all, because I said last segment that I thought that these were all from movies. And so I thought that this was an Oscar theme. And I was thinking originally that these were like Oscar award winning films, although I wasn't sure like Working Girls and some of those movies won Oscars. But nevertheless, Footloose, whatever. But Now I'm thinking that these were all Oscar performances.
I'm going with these are all songs that won Oscars from movie soundtracks. What?
You were so close, Zaz. So close. Do you want to try it again?
Amber, no, that's my guess.
All right.
I was also close. I mean, are they there? I thought I just, are they from Oscar winning films and they're just the theme song from Oscar winning films?
Oh.
So close. No, these were Oscar losers.
Oh, that's so hard.
They were all nominated and then lost.
The song or the movie?
The song. The songs were all nominated and lost, which is why Ryan Gosling was the creme de la creme, because that was the big news last night.
That's interesting, because the part that actually threw me off was, I'm like, there's no way Ray Parker's Ghostbusters actually won the Oscar for best song from a movie. So that part did confuse me. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think that one could have been a score that won an Oscar. So I wasn't.
That's a good soundtrack. Yeah, it's an underrated soundtrack.
Right, but that song's winning an Oscar. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it should. Why wouldn't it?
Who are you going to call?
It's the best.
Ghostbusters.
It's the best movie song ever.
You named your son.
Oh,
after
you're not going to beat I'm Just Ken James. I'm so sorry.
But that Ghostbusters was written for.
You named one of your kids after the movie?
Kind of. No,
it's
so
not named Slimer, right?
No, not
absolutely.
Slimer. So my daughters awesome. Were very, very obsessed with Ghostbusters 2 whenever they were little, and Lisa was pregnant with
Is your
Oscar.
Kid named Vigo?
No, that's a good one though. Lisa was pregnant. We didn't have a name, and we were watching it, and the baby's name is Oscar. And we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, "Oscar's kind of a cool name," and we agreed, and that's he's Oscar now.
So there you go.
He's also a grouch, so we kind of...
Like I said, named their son after this movie. Because that's how much James loves
named their son after the dude
so
that lives in garbage.
Yes, this is Oscar-winning music right here.
Oscar losing. Losing.
Yep. Well, I would have never gotten that, because I don't know what songs have won and lost. Again, all I know about the Oscars is John Cena. Let's play some Big Deal, Not a Big Deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And James Steele, quick version here.
Yeah, this is a segment I came up with all by myself.
I own the rights to this segment.
True. So
not true either. Those things are true.
Muhammad Ali will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024, they announced today. Ali was the special guest referee in the main event of the first WrestleMania, a tag team match featuring Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Zaz, big deal, not a big deal.
Because you'll have your moments. I'm going big deal. This is a tremendous posthumous honor for Muhammad Ali. WWE Hall of Fame coming up in April, Philadelphia, WrestleMania 40. What an honor, Amber. Go ahead.
This is going to surprise you guys. I'm going to go big deal. And why this is a big deal is because I always thought Muhammad Ali was a real fighter, and I've learned that it's all scripted.
How dare you? How dare you?
I always thought he was a real fighter as opposed to a fake fighter.
How dare you?
You just hate our joy, and I don't understand it.
Not John Cena, though.
I can't even believe you can see him.
It's wrestling. It's wrestling, right, John Cena? Yeah! Got that right? There you go. I'm a big WWE fan. Is he still part of that?
And sometimes. Over the weekend, six players were ejected in the SEC title game after South Carolina and LSU had a little bit of a tussle on the court. South Carolina forward Camila Cardoso was one of the six players. After she shoved LSU's Flauje Johnson to the floor late in the fourth quarter of the Gamecocks 79-72 win. Big deal, not a big deal. This is, you know, injections and, you know, just a very heated game in the SEC championship game, Amber.
This is a big deal. It's a big deal because Cardoso now has been ejected and will be suspended for the Gamecocks NCAA tournament opener. So, yes, this fight, with 2 minutes left in this game, in the championship, is now going to cost you in the actual tournament, Zaslow. That's a big deal and frankly, a dumb deal.
I'm going to go not a big deal. South Carolina is going to be the number one overall seed, undefeated this year. It's a 1-16 matchup, and, you know, different from the men, where sometimes that game is close, it's usually a 100-point blowout with the
can
women.
Can you imagine?
1-16. So this is not a big deal. They're going to be just fine.
Even without one of their best players?
Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
I just feel not like that's not the place to do it, man. Like, don't cost yourself.
Oh,
when
totally.
You're going into the match.
Yeah, you're right about that, but it's ultimately not going to be a big deal.
Well,
don't fight though. Fighting's bad.
Yeah, fighting's bad. That's a good take by you. Q Myers, he's going to have plenty of good takes as well. He's coming up next here on ESPN Radio. Game Night is coming your way.